Well, good morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, it's hard not to rejoice. The Bible doesn't put little circles around rejoice if. Rejoice when you don't have this problem. Rejoice when this is going okay. It just says rejoice, you know. And I know that some of you have more reason to rejoice than others, but we can all rejoice. How did anyone have any report? And I don't know if Brother Dale does or not. Anyone have any report on how the prison, excuse me. Yeah, you can see where my mind is at sometimes, can't you? Yeah. About the fair ministry. The numbers, anyone have? 323? Ah, praise the Lord. That is good. Now, I had an opportunity a couple of days to go out, and it was warm. Matter of fact, it was more than warm. But anyway, that's a blessing. If you have the opportunity to go out, you know it was a blessing. If you didn't go out and you want a blessing, go next year. You know, just go. Say, yes, Lord, I'll go. I'll go where the lost are. That's what we're going to be looking at today. We started months ago, at the last fifth Sunday, looking at some biblical principles for soul winning. And we are going to finish that today. So if you would please turn to Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 23 and verse 37. Now, some of you have this memorized. I am well aware of that. For those who don't, we are going to read it. We're going to look just a little bit at this verse, at the heart of our Savior, at the heart of our Savior. Matthew 23:37, and we're going to follow right down through the context to the end of the chapter. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know, at the end of verse 37, there's a phrase there that I want you to look at. It says, and ye would not. That's, you know, I don't know what your theological position is, but choices are a part of life. You know, you just can't get away from choices. This here kind of indicates that Israel was making a choice not to receive her Messiah at this time. It wasn't etched in stone. They didn't have any opportunity to say yes or no. They had opportunities. I mean, the prophets had come. They'd stoned them. But the heart of our Lord is toward the salvation, the deliverance of his people. And that's one of the things that I think about when I knock on doors, when I go to the prisons, even when I go to the fair. The different places than my neighbors. I think about the heart of my Savior, you know, what his heart is, and his heart is a burdened heart for lost people. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that Isaiah 55:11 tells us that it won't return unto you void. And Lord God, this morning we know that you spoke it forth. We know that it's written and recorded. And we know that when we speak it forth, that it's going to accomplish whatsoever you desire. And Lord God, help us to leave the outcome with you. We know that he that is convinced against his will is probably of the same opinion still. So help us to leave, Father, the work of the Holy Spirit to the Holy Spirit. And help us to do what we're supposed to do in this great principle and this great truth and a great commandment, Father, of soul winning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started off taking a look at the motivations for soul winning. You know, there are motivations. The biggest one that I looked at was joy. Joy. Joy to the sinner. I mean, you have to keep that in mind. Joy to the sinner. You got to think back, some of us a long time, okay? And when you get over 70, sometimes your memory plays tricks on you as far as time goes. You think, well, that was only 2 months ago, and it might have been 2 years ago. But joy, I mean, I remember when I got saved. It was 3:10, 3:15 in the morning, and I know the peace that came over me and the joy, I mean, that inner joy that need to be expressed that was inside. There's joy to the sinner. And there's joy to the saint. You know, I mean, the Bible talks about the saints, you know. My goodness, you know, the saints in heaven are going to rejoice over you and me when we come to the Lord. And there's another aspect of joy here, and that is to the Savior. And we looked at those, so we're not going to take the time to look at them again. Then we looked at the wisdom of soul winning. And we went to Proverbs 11:30. So let's turn back there to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. That's a Job, Psalms, Proverbs 11 and verse 30. All right. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. We hardly ever hear that mentioned, don't we? We always go to the last half of this verse. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So there is wisdom. There is wisdom in witnessing. Now, there's wisdom in witnessing just by witnessing, but there is also wisdom that is garnered from witnessing, because you sometimes are confronted with situations, with questions, with people who don't agree, who don't want anything to do with you, and have a totally contrary opinion and have no problem espousing it. So when you get home, sometimes you look up things to see, now, what in the world are they talking about here? How can I address that the next time, you know, and actually show wisdom in addressing it? Someone told me if they're not ready to be saved, don't spend time with them. Well, I don't know when they're ready to be saved. I don't. I mean, I said no for a long time. I said no. I mean, it's 35 years old when I trusted Jesus Christ. So there was a fellow at work that kept badgering me. I mean, he kept giving me these little tracks all the time. And they track you down. There's an old Southern preacher who says tracks are for nothing other than to track you down until they get you. And, you know, if you read them, instead of throwing them away, the Word of God is going to work. Now, it took a while. It took a while. But the Word of God actually did work in my life. And at the age of 35, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so let's see if we can just take a look. The first part of that verse, okay, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You want fruit? Now, I'm going to tell, now, if we're in Christ, we are righteous. The Bible says we have the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. In God's eyes, we are righteous. We have been imputed righteousness. So we are righteous in God's eyes. Now, I don't think there's too many of us here that don't know that. But the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Do you want to see people coming into eternal life as a fruit of your labors as a righteous person? I mean, that's one of the ways that I was taught I could look at that verse. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, not the tree of life, you know. So if you want to bring people, you know, into eternal life, then go out and win souls, you know. Because the last half of that verse says, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, this is introduction, but I think we left off with Psalms 126:6. And Psalms 126:6, And you know something? I know that verse by heart, and the last time I was up here, I missed a phrase in that verse, which is the most one of the most important phrases in the verse. Not that you can just say, well, this is what the verse is all about. No, but that is a motivation, you know. And let's look at that. Psalms 126, 6, please. Yeah, it's right before Psalms 127. All right, Psalms 126, 6. This is what it says. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, you know, the weeping part is, I mean, that is a part of it. I mean, goeth forth, you know, weep and weepeth. How many times? Someone asked Charles Haddon Spurgeon why he had so many people saved in his ministry. And he says, I'm going to tell you what you want to do. You want to go to your study. You want to close the door. You want to lay your Bible open and think about the lost people you know and just lay your head down on that Bible and just weep for them. Weep for the lost that you know come to your service. Weep for the lost that don't come. Weep for the lost that are on your prayer, shall we say, your prayer closet lineup, you know, so that they'll be saved. Weeping. I mean, John Hyde. I know many of you have read of John Hyde. He was called the praying saint. He would go to he'd accept an invitation to go to a meeting of religious leaders, you know, men of the cloth, they called them in that day. And they'd be mingling around and sharing different things, you know, and trying to impress one another. And John Hyde would come up missing, and so they go looking for him. They found him this one time out on a veranda. He was out there on his knees, his head on the rail, and he was crying out and weeping, saying, "Oh God, give me Scotland or I die. Give me Scotland or I die." We don't have men today that have such an ardent desire to see the lost come to know the Lord. We don't have many. We have some, but we don't have many. And, you know, God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed, and he hasn't changed his plan. There's some other variable in that equation that has changed, and it's not God. Now, in Psalms 126, 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. You know, when you look at the New Testament, seed, a lot of times, is symbolic or is a symbol of the Word of God. Is this precious? Is this precious to you and me? We are going forth. We are bearing precious seed. This here in Hebrews 4:12 says, For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. Now, that's not some lost Word of God. That's the Word of God. You know, I've heard men tell me, and I don't say anything against them, but I've heard them tell me, well, this is just a dead book. This is just black on white. Well, you know, I can stomp on this. I can throw the ink on it. I don't worship it. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to give it the same place in my life as God gives it. He places it above his name of his son, and he places this word above all glory and praise and honor. So I'm going to give it the same place that God does. Now, goeth forth, weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall what? Shall doubtless come again, rejoicing. Rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, I know if we really got into the context, we could show the historical aspect of this, but there's a spiritual principle here that we need to remember, that we have precious seed, and if we weep, and if we are not, shall we say, against weeping for the lost, we can go out bearing that precious seed, and we are going to, when our Lord comes back and we're presented to him, we're going to be amazed at the harvest that's come because we have sowed precious seed. Now, I'm talking to me as well as I'm talking to anybody else. And I'm going to say that, and I'm going to preface it too with the fact that there was a time when, and I say this probably as a confession, but more so as a fact that I've looked at it and I'm going to deal with it, okay? It's something that I have decided to deal with. There was a time that everywhere I went, I passed out tracts everywhere. It didn't matter where I went. It didn't matter if I was in a grocery store. It made no difference. I was on a street corner. Made no difference. If I was in the bank waiting in line, I had a pocket full, and I would pass them out. Pass out track. And if anybody wanted to talk about it, I'd talk. I used to stand on the street corner in Tecumseh, Michigan at 7 o'clock at night, right there where the bank used to be, on the four corners of Evans and Chicago Boulevard. And I would get, and the boys and would come up there, and I'd start a conversation with them. And we'd sit right down there on that little corner there and talk. And you know who was the most concerned about that? It wasn't the people driving by, it was the police. The police stopped and they said, Hey boys, is this guy bothering you? I mean, at that time, I was about 50, 55. Is this guy bothering you? Well, I mean, if you got four or five boys, they're 5'10", 6 foot, 6'2", and you got a 55-year-old guy there sitting on the curb talking with him, you think the 55-year-old guy is a problem or a menace to the boys? They don't have to sit there, do they? So, you know, somebody's going to come in and they're going to start trying to make, shall we say, waves and interfere with the process of soul winning. They're going to try and raise something so that, I mean, it's happening today. I mean, they have taken this book out of school and they've replaced it with guards. You go downtown Detroit, you go into Flint and places like that, they have guards that are in the schools now. I mean, when you take this away, lawlessness prevails. If you honor this, you treasure this, hey, and that means you got to speak it out. You can't just stay in our back pocket. You can't stay at home. Yeah, we got to speak it out, you know, because what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and that is the word, you know, of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it comes a process of speaking the word out. I can wish and hope that people get saved. But if I've really got a burden for them, I'm going to go to them and I'm going to tell them, hey, the Lord, not, I won't, it depends upon the circumstance, of course. But the gist of it is the Lord has burdened me to come here and to talk to you. I want to talk to you about, you know, something that's happened to me that I think would really be the best thing that ever happened in your life. You know, however you want to press it, whatever the Lord is leading you and how he's leading you, do it. Now, we looked at being born again, and we went through some scriptures. You need to be assured of your salvation. You can't give somebody something you haven't got. They aren't going to want something that they get the idea that you're just plastic on it. You have just, you know, schema. You know, I think that's a word that's used in Philippians chapter 2, you know. Fashion, like unto man, is the word schema, the outward appearance. A lot of times we have the outward appearance of a Christian, but when people just watch us and rub shoulders with us, they have some questions, you know. So you need to make absolutely certain that you have assurance of salvation. That's one requirement. As a matter of fact, it doesn't. Now, I'm going to say something. Some of you are probably going to think I'm not on key here, but I witnessed to people, though, when I was lost, and I do not recommend this to anyone. I witnessed to people when I was lost, and I've seen people get saved. I have. Because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that does the work. Okay? Now, but need to have assurance of your salvation. We so often say that, well, you know, I don't expect everybody that I witness to get saved. Why not? Romans 1:16 said it's the power of God unto salvation. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So, I mean, we should go out expecting people to get saved. Expecting. We should be disappointed if they don't, you know. Rather than the other way around, you know, we should be disappointed when they don't. Now, we must be sincerely positive. We must believe that God is able to save anybody who we share the gospel with. I know some men at work. One fellow was a pipe fitter, and I'm going to give you his first name, and that's all I'm going to give you. His name is Joe, and he is a husky fellow. He had worked up north on the bridge, you know, the ambassador, now up on the Mackinac Bridge. He'd worked up there, and he became a pipe fitter and came into Ford's to work, and I shared the gospel with him. This fellow would get so angry that his neck would just, you know, it'd just get tight and red, and the blood vessels, you know, and things would just start pumping there. And he'd say, get out of here, get out. I mean, he would get irate. But you know something? There was a day, just like, well, anyway, we'll get back to him. But there was a day when he decided, you know something? There was two of us that were witnessing to him. These fellas have something that I want. I mean, that's exactly what he said. He said, so he came to us one lunchtime. We had lunchtime Bible study in the maintenance area. So he comes and he says, hey, I don't know anything about what you guys are talking about, but can I set in on your Bible study? I just, you know, 2 weeks later, the fella gets saved. I mean, I would never have thought that fella was a candidate for salvation. I didn't. But because I didn't get irate back, probably some of it had to do with fear. But whatever God uses, I mean, it makes no difference to me. But the fellow got saved 2 weeks later. And it doesn't matter who it is. You can read testimonies of men who have done some of the most horrendous things. Look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul persecuted the church, killed them. I mean, he was guilty of that. He didn't take the sword or hang him or whatever, but he was complicit in the whole operation. It made him just as guilty as anyone else. And when the Lord Jesus Christ accosted him on the road to Damascus, Paul responded, and Paul became probably the most ardent soul winner and church builder that we have record of. There's other men, you know, we have records of, but this here is, as far as I'm concerned, what's written in here has a lot more weight than what's written in books, articles, magazines, and periodicals, okay? Now, believe that God can save anyone. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his heart. That is his primary purpose for coming, to seek and to save that which was lost. And now there's another aspect of his coming that we won't get into right now that's just as important, but that is what he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. Unbelief is one of the greatest hindrances towards the workings of God. It is. Look at Matthew 13. Okay, when you get there, just say amen. 53, verses 53 through 58. Matthew 13:53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's? I mean, am I in the right place? It must be. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto him, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Now, I'm not sure that's the verses that I wanted, but I'm going to get back to that in a minute. We should be surprised if people don't get saved. Now, in one place it says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief in verse 58 of that same chapter. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Our unbelief can handcuff God in our lives. If we don't believe that he is, if we don't believe that we can be saved by trusting in Jesus Christ, we aren't going to trust in Jesus Christ. If we don't believe that somebody else can get saved by trusting in Jesus Christ because their life is such a horrendous example of human, flesh, then we probably won't go witness to them. We have to believe that he can save the vilest of sinners. We have a song, a hymn, that talks about that. Now, NASA, or our space center, it can send rockets, it can send satellites, it can go out there into the moon, it can go to Mars, they can send them out into outer space. But we have a story of a man who can take people beyond Mars, beyond Jupiter and Pluto, and can take them all the way to heaven. Why in the world wouldn't we want to tell them? Why do we focus so much upon this little sphere that we're a part of? Why don't we think about what God is doing, what his plan is, and his place that he has prepared for us, which is a mansion, and prepared for all of them that put their trust in him. Now, we have Romans, Acts 1:8 tells us, I think you know what that is, but we're going to look there. Acts 1 and verse 8, it says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I want to point out one thing here. He didn't say that you can be witnesses, did he? No. What's that word? He says, and ye shall be witnesses. What kind of witness are we? We are a witness. We are a witness. But what kind of witness are we? Unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, sometimes we think that because we support missions and we send missionaries all over, and we spend money to do that, is our part in reaching the uttermost parts of the earth. What about God's call? Have we really paid attention to what God's call? Ushers, can we have ushers, please? Have we paid attention to God's call on our life? Maybe he wants us to go beyond Adrian, beyond Tecumseh, beyond Clinton, I'm talking to me also, okay? Someday you and I are going to meet our Lord face to face, and we are going to answer for how we have not only lived our life, but what we have done with the things and the tools and the equipment that he has equipped us with as believers. And he has equipped us. All of us have been given gifts by God at the point of salvation, time of salvation, and those gifts are supposed to be exercised in obedience to the will of God for our lives. And we'll grow, we'll help others grow, we'll bring people into the church or into the kingdom of God. And what are we're going to answer for that. But I think one of the things that we're going to be probably most ashamed of is how many people passed us by that we didn't take the time or we didn't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and give them a track, talk to them, see if their heart was open to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you can go to the grocer, you can go to the restaurant. We pass them out at the restaurants, you know, and once in a while we get a chance to talk. A lot of times they haven't got time, you know. I stood in line at the grocery store here about 4 months ago, and a fellow behind me, I knew him from the service. We got to talking. I asked him, because I think I should have done it sooner. Finally, I asked him, you know, about his church affiliation, where he went, if he knew for sure he was going to heaven. And he didn't. And he wanted to know, but he didn't have time to listen. So I give him a track. Now, barbershop used to be a real good place. Nowadays, they're training them to curb the discussions that get on politics and that get on religion. Some of the public ones. The one that I go to, you can start it, but they'll change the conversation pretty quick. Now, God will really bless you and me if we honor him, if we honor his word, and if we really believe that this is precious seed. This is precious seed. It matters not if we believe it or not. It does in our life, but it doesn't matter as to whether it is or not, you know, just because we don't believe it is. It's precious seed, and we need to remember that. Now, I'm going to just finish up here. I said that we're going to stand before God someday, and we are. But there's a man who built a mansion, and he put a caretaker over this mansion, and he took off. I think it was England. He left the caretaker. An old evangelist was traveling through, and he passed this mansion every once in a while, a gated mansion. He passed it occasionally, and he saw how this thing was kept manicured. Everything was kept great. It was nice. I mean, and month after month after month, the house was kept up, the yard was clean, the flowers were taken care of. Everything was perfect. So this one day, he saw the caretaker out by the gate. So he pulls up by the gate. Beeped a horn, the caretaker come out. He said, "Hey, I want to ask you something. Who lives here?" Guy says, "The owner is not here. The owner is away. I'm taking care of the mansion for him." And he says, "Wow, you really do a good job keeping this up, don't you?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "You know, it looks almost like you expect him to come at any time." And he says, "Well, indeed I do, sir. Indeed I do. He can come at any time. He can." Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, mostly for your grace, Lord, because if it wasn't for your unmerited favor, Father, we wouldn't be seated here. I wouldn't be standing here. And Father God, the world would be lost. But thank you for your grace. And thank you for your mercy that you don't deal with me after the severity of my sin. But Lord God, thank you for the day that you saved me. Help me to be a good witness for you. And I pray, Father, that all of us here would make an effort and a commitment to trust you in the area of soul winning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.